Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing today? Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. It is a beautiful, sunny afternoon, Christmas day when I'm making this recording. Welcome. We're glad to have you with us today. This is pretty interesting. What we got going on in North Dakota. But we've just gone from a complete whiteout to see the clear blue skies now. So thank you, Jesus. This session, we're going to be dealing with 1 Peter and reading the Word as we read through the Word of God. Man, we're close. We're down to what's today? This date is day number 354. We got 11 of these left to go in the next 7 days, and we're going to get it done on December 31st. We are actually going to read the last words of the Bible. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. So no matter what you've been faced with this year, make sure you end this year in great power. Now, between Christmas Day today and the end of the year, you still got 7 days to make a difference in your life. Don't stop believing. Seriously. Don't stop believing. Never surrender your faith. Never, 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 never surrender your faith. Whatever you've been believing God for all along, believe Him. Now, and let me say this to you. No matter when you listen to this video, even if it's during the tribulation and you miss the rapture, do not miss the rapture. But if that happens to you, you find this video. Because I declare, no matter what YouTube does, these videos will be available during the tribulation. Now watch. And you're like, man, I can't seem to get on top of this. You shoot me an email. I've got a message I want to share with you that will transform your life about Thanksgiving and about praise. It'll transform your life. Remember, it's never about the vessel that speaks it. It's about the word of God that's in that vessel's mouth as an oracle. Naturally, every one of us have leaders where God sends us. You are assigned by God to a ministry, to an organization, to a group of believers, a fellowship, whatever you want to call it, the ecclesia. God's going to give you a leader. You're going to follow him. You're going to walk with him. Remember, it's never about that leader, because what did the leader have? He didn't have nothing if God didn't give it to him. So we follow them. We get involved with them. We build their buildings. We go do the ministry. And then, no matter who God speaks to, if it's a little tiny shaver, 3 years old, and they make a statement that transforms you, listen. And if it's the wisest sage in the kingdom who's been around the kingdom forever, listen to him, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that's speaking to him. Right now, you and I are going to listen to the Apostle Peter. This book is approximately 2,000 years old. Wow. From one of the greatest preachers and the greatest apostles. Right here, the Apostle Peter. Hold your Bible up. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what God says I am. I go do what God tells me to do. Today, as this word is read, it gets down in my life and transforms me forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Hey, Oklahoma and Sunday. Welcome, 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 welcome. It's good to have you with us. May God richly bless you. 1 Peter 1, 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, reaching out there, talking to the whole world of Christianity, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling. Somebody took my pen. Obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. I want you to know something. I want you to notice that all of these great apostles talked about the fact of the foreknowledge of God. Peter talked about it. Paul says it over and over, how you and I were predestined before the foundations of the earth. This has been laid out a long time. Don't mess it up. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us as again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at this word, 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I heard one preacher say this. If need be has to do with you and me. Well, I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like that. I don't need be to go into any more of these trials. But anyways, keep going. Man, I got preach on me today. By various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor. So the fiery trials which are trying you are testing you for your faith in God Almighty. May be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, unceasing, and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. Search carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Think about it. You think about it. Bill Gaither used to sing a song. It's the song holy angels cannot sing. What is it? The song of the redeemed. They're not redeemed. They don't ever get redemption. They're servants. It's for you and me. Now watch this. 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Strong, solid foundation, force, muscular place of God. The loins, what's a loin? The loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest in hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Remember, this isn't Peter talking. This is the Holy Spirit of God. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For indeed, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, wow, you guys are doing some talking. I had a dream I was trying to catch a flight. It may be about the rapture. We were given an extra 30 minutes. Wow. Going to go read my Bible. I am newly reborn. Stay here and read the Bible with us. We're in 1 Peter. It's a New Testament book, 1 Peter. We're in chapter 1. And we're on verse number 22. Stay and read with us. It's good to have you with us. Good to have you with us. In Jesus' mighty name. But I want you to do this. Look at verse 20 where it says, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm going to put a big old circle around all that phrase. And then I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to draw a line from 20. You don't have to do this. And I'm going to draw a line on my Bible right across the page to verse 2. Why? Because both of those verses are talking about the foreknowledge of God. It's why I love my Bible. Now, I know this doesn't make for good TV, but let me see if I can get it there. See how you got those little words and numbers on the side? What that leads you to in this Bible is it leads you back into the back with some numbers. On those numbers in the back are groups of verses of Scripture that teach the very thing that we just circled. So verse 19 talks about, or 20 talks about, foreordained before the foundation of the world. And when you go over, there's two words there, foreordained plan, and it has a number, 4154, which will be full of verses. And then it has predestination, 2861. Now, let me just go to one of those. I don't usually do this right now because I'm busy reading, but I'm instructed to do this. 2861, there you go. Predestination has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's got about 40 verses that talk about predestination. That's why you want this Bible. It's not going to tell you what some man believes about it. It's going to send you to a verse in the Bible that means the same thing that this one does. It's called a chain reference. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're in verse 22. I got so much preaching on me today. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. Grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. 25. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, a baby doesn't have any other choice. He's hungry. He cries. When it comes time to be fed, he's hungry. He cries. He desires that milk from his mother, or bottle today, however it is. But Peter said, as a newborn baby, cry out to God for the sincere milk of the word. Verse 4, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. I'm in 1 Peter 2:5. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Who's the cornerstone? Jesus. If you believe on him, you won't be put to shame. Amen. 7, therefore to you who believe, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And Jesus said at one point, either fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you and be crushed. It's up to you and me what we have. If we're full of pride, we're not going to fall on the rock and say, Jesus, break me open and make me real. Many believers say, oh, Lord, humble me. Man, you don't want that. You don't want God to have to humble you. That usually leads to humiliation. What you want to humble yourself, and then he exalts you. The enemy is good at bringing you humiliation. God wants you and me to humble ourselves. All the way through the Bible, from beginning to end, God says to us, humble yourself. You do it. Don't make somebody else do it. You do it. And then it's true humility. And it's not just this false humility of, oh, I'm so low. No, you do it. Humble yourself, and God will lift you up. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Look at verse 9. I love these verses. But you, want to raise your hand and say, that's me. I like it. But you, oh, come on, work right now. Right now. Are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You, me, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own people, special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of the visitation. What are they saying? You live right, and it don't matter what others do. It's going to turn out right. 13, therefore, submit yourself. You do it. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, to governor, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants to God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, let me say this to the Americans and a couple other people around the world, but listen to this. You and I have a different opportunity than what many people in many nations have. Because we don't have a king. Our king is Jesus. We have a vote. And this is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. So we have the duty, the responsibility, the accountability, the stewardship to stand up and say, no, you don't do that in my nation. Because the president is a hired help. He's an employee of ours and mine. Honor and respect a position, yeah, but not when you have a wicked person in it. I'm not going to respect this man who's trying to destroy our children and mutilate them and have men and women crossing over and going into our bathrooms. That's not going to happen here. You're vile, you're wicked, you're against the things that make America what it is. I stand against you. Respect the office. Stand against that wickedness that is not this Constitution. Somebody's like, goodness, you went straight from God to politics. No, I went straight from God over here to God who helped us establish a nation where God is the Lord. I respect the office of a president, but not when he's a pervert. I don't respect that. I respect a police officer who pulls somebody over on the side of the road. I pull over. I do not respect one who is wicked and vile and perverse. In my nation, America, we have the responsibility to change that and for justice to be brought so that that wicked person is removed and a righteous person is put back in place. Verse number 18. Servants, be submissive to your master, of course, with all fear, not only to the good, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, even because of conscience sake toward God. One endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults that you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Every one of us are going to have someone speak against us and persecute us from time to time. That Jesus said it's going to happen. Jesus isn't making it happen. They're just going to hate you because you love God and stand up under it. Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, God. Notice that him is capitalized. Every time in the text you see a pronoun capitalized, it's talking about God. Committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus took stripes on his back. And because of the stripes he took on his back, you and I receive healing. 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Chapter 3, verse 1. Here we go. I talk to the wives, to the husbands, to the families. Peter's preaching just like Paul. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. By fear, do not let your adornment be of outward arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather be the Let it be the hidden person of heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Didn't say she is. As to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, let me remind you of a story I tell. How much time we got here? Goodness sakes alive, there's a lot of good preaching material in this. Let me tell the story. One of my grandfathers of the faith, Dr. Barclay's fathers of the faith, Dr. Roy C. Hicks, tells a story about one time he was pastoring and he was giving counseling session, and lady come in and said, he said, when she walked into office, I thought, wow, that is a very, very, very unattractive lady. And she sat down and he said, how may I help you? She said, Dr. X, you said that God could change everything about us. Even if we were ugly in our physical features, he could change that. Is that just good preaching, or do you really mean that? And he said, I thought, wow, I need an answer right now. That's what happens. God's not the God of the perfect. God's the God that gives every person, whether perfect or imperfect, an answer for their life. He said, well, yes, he will make you beautiful. God makes everything beautiful in his time. She said, how? Just like that, the Holy Spirit began to give him verses that she should read. And he gave her an assignment. He said, if you go away and you read this for 6 months and then come back and tell me how God is doing in your life. He said 6 months later, he had an appointment with a lady and didn't recognize the name necessarily. She came in, sat down, didn't recognize the lady. And she said, Brother Hicks, you don't seem to recognize me. He said, I'm sorry about that. She said, I'm the lady that came to you and said, can God make me beautiful? And she said, I meditated on those verses every day that you gave me and asked God to make me beautiful. And he said she had become a very beautiful lady. Not because she had her hair done, her nails done, the perfect makeup, blush, and eyeliner. No, because God changed the nature of her being. That's why people do when they say they're switching sexes and they're going to go from a male to a woman. No, you ain't never going to be nothing. Because you're denying what God made you. Go to God. Ask God for the answer to give you about how to make you into the beautiful person he created you. Because it doesn't matter what you cut off or cut a hole in. It ain't going to make a difference. You don't change who you are. God made you. You can't change a stone from being a stone. It's a stone. How do you change water from being water or dirt from being dirt? You can't. No. Well, God made it. It's what it's going to be. And if he made you a man, you'll be a man. If he made you a woman, you'll be a woman. There's no discrimination or nothing in it. It's just the way it is. But see, Peter's telling them, because he's talking about people that's in these wicked, vile cities where there's great witchcraft and the worship of false god. And to them, everything is about the outward plating of gold and necklaces and makeup and all that. God's not against you wearing makeup. God's not against you having jewelry on. A bunch of it. He told Adam and Eve, there's so much gold, it's laying on the ground. You can go pick it up. You don't have a problem. But he's saying, let the beauty of your life be that inner beauty from what he makes you by transforming you into a new creation. Goodness sakes alive. I'm in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that they may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days. How many of you, that's you? That's me. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit. Quit your lying. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Even those who stood in the church one day and prayed a prayer and said, I said the prayer. No. If you do evil, you are of your father, the devil. If you do good, you're of your father, God. So decide to do good. Verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the threat, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your heart always, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Jesus told the disciples, you're going to be turned over to some people. They're going to take you to court in front of the magistrate. Don't worry about it. When you get there, the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what to say. It's kind of scary, Pastor. I know. I've been in a few situations more than once where I didn't know what to say. I didn't know. I told you a story all the time about being Old Crow Yukon and 5 hours of airplane flight at 100 miles an hour. A long ways from anything. And the chief of the village looked at me. I knocked on his door to invite his kids to the vacation Bible school. And he said, don't like what you're teaching our kids? And if you don't leave, we'll shoot you. And right there, leaning against the door is a rifle. Model 94 of Winchester. I said, well, sir, I apologize. We're not trying to teach your children anything wrong. And I knew of the situation in which he spoke. I said, I had no idea that was the case here, and I will never speak like that again. And, you know, please forgive me. And he said, that's okay. Get out of here. And he's drunk. He's literally drunk standing in front of me. And I know, and my buddy Mike that's with me knows, we got to turn around and walk away from him with our backs to an open door, a drunk chief that doesn't like what I said, and he's got a rifle sitting right there. And what are you going to do? You're going to know that God didn't send you to kill you. He sent you there to make a difference in that village. We turned around, started walking away. Mike's like, what are we going to do? I'm like, Mike, God didn't send us here to kill us. Just keep walking. It's going to be all right. You know how sometimes when you're in a scary situation, the hair in the back of your neck stands up? It was standing up. But God didn't send us there to kill us. And the chief didn't shoot us. And he got so drunk the next couple of days, he couldn't get out of bed, you know, off the couch or whatever. And for 7 years, they had been there with that tribe and had never seen one person pray to be born again, and we saw 27 kids and 3 adults pray that week while we were there. Why? Because not worried about their threats. I didn't come to hurt anybody. I came to bring Jesus. I'm going to make it work. Oh, my. Verse 16, I'm in 1 Peter 3:16. Sunday, pray for me. I'm having trouble. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer the thing for doing good than for doing evil. 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. That's what Jesus did. When he died, he went into hell. He preached to the spirits that were in prison. He defeated hell in hell as a lamb, and then he came back. 20, who were formerly disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared in which few, that is, 8 souls were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and has at the right hand of God and authorities and powers, having been made subject to him. Chapter 4. This whole thing's about suffering and being righteous. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. In regard to those who think it strange that you do not run with them, 5, they will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. God went, he preached, Jesus went, he preached to those who received him, came out. And that's why it says many of the patriarchs were seen walking around the city after Jesus was raised from the dead. Yeah, I know, amazing. Verse number 7, but the end of all things is at hand, 2,000 years ago. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everybody here has a gift. Use it to bless those around you. Do what we taught you this morning in our morning 1 hour of faith. Grow up in God. You've got to grow up. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as through some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, busybody in other people's matters. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? God, his judgment's here on you and I first. If the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to the faithful creator. Remember this about suffering. Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower, which you can find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that persecution and tribulation come because you've got a word that's producing faith. The enemy don't want that word in there. But it don't matter what he wants, because he doesn't get what he wants. We get what we want. And that is, we're going to walk with God. So the more faith you begin to build, the more that the pressure is going to come to release that faith. Don't release it. Hold on to it. and know, wait a minute, this pressure is on me? That's so I'll release this word I got, and then that faith won't grow and develop in my heart. My inheritance won't show up. My blessing won't show up. The victory won't show up. I won't ever be a blessing to anybody else. No, hang on to it. Hang on to it in the mighty name of Jesus. And just like that, the winds die down. We spoke to them. How awesome is that? Chapter 5. I got so much going on in this day. Chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. He's talking to the leaders. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now think about it. I'm not the shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd under him. It's not my will. It's his. You're not my sheep. You're his. See, when we keep it in this proper perspective, nobody gets out of order in pride and arrogance. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt in due time, casting all your care, not just most of it, all of it, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like, circle the word like a roaring lion. He might roar, but he ain't got no teeth. Seeking whom he may devour. And it will not be me. Seeking whom he may devour. Say it with me. And it will not be me. You don't get to devour me. I'm walking with God. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Now, you and I have just experienced the Apostle Peter's 5-chapter, 100-verse dissertation to the believers. And, of course, we covered it in about 45 minutes. Now, there's so much in there. And it'll take you a good time to go back and study it. Now, listen to me. If the Holy Spirit inspired this to you while I was reading it, then go back and begin to study it and read it over and over and over. Some of you have been trained, you got to read a new chapter every day because you got to have a new thing every day. No, the greatest thing you'll ever do in God is get the 5 things, the 10 things that God wants for you and get them down. And stay on those same verses until you get them down. I'm going to give you many verses as a pastor and say this is a very important set of verses to you. Well, they are important, and every one of those sets are good. But you have to decide, hold it. This one is for me because God inspired me on the inside as I was listening to Pastor speak as an oracle of God. See, now then what happens? Now then, I spoke the word given to me to speak. The Holy Spirit illuminated your heart and mind and caused you to say, wait, I know that the Father just said that to me. Now what happens? Now you obey him, and now you're hearing his voice down here in your spirit, and you're beginning to walk with him. Now, if he's called you to this church, he's not going to tell you to go do something absolutely different than what we're doing here. The point is this. No matter what I sit here and preach, you've got to follow God as he's leading you. And it will always be in the safety, security, and the blessing of God on your life. It'll always be that. No matter what, it will always be that in Jesus' mighty name. You might say, you have proof, Pastor? Yep. I've been with the same pastor now, 29 years, same pastor, Dr. Mark T. Buckley. He's been my pastor since December 92 is what it was. So real close to 30 years. Tide's always been in the same place. I would like to say to you, I've never missed a tithe. I've had a serious amount of warfare in my life. And so there may have been a time I missed tithe, but I want to tell you something about that. So you know what I did? I just said, well, in case I ever missed a tithe, I'm always going to round my tithe up to the next 50 or to the next 100. Why? Well, you're going to give to God and he's not going to bless you back? No. Every dime I've ever made since 1993, whenever that first service was. It's been tithed in the same place. Why? Because when you build foundation and you build safety and you build security and you build stability, nothing can shake that. Nothing. It's not another pastor in the world who knows more about my life than my pastor, Mark T. Berkeley. Thank you, Father, for that pastor. I don't worship him. I just appreciate having the same pastor. And the strength and the stability that's there. Maybe you're looking for a church and you don't even have a church. This is a church. Hang out here with us. But if all of a sudden God sends you here, then be here and know that it's an assignment of God. I'm not out here gathering disciples. I ain't never doing that another day in my life. If you belong here, get here and stay here. We'll receive you. We'll be glad you're here in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray the prayer of salvation because you never know who's here that might need to know Jesus. If you've never been born again, pray this prayer. And you will be in 2 minutes if you mean it from the depths of your heart. You have been born again and been away from God. Pray this prayer, you'll pray with God. Maybe you've never prayed the prayer, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Pray this prayer. And when we're finished, your life's going to radically change. I'll give it to you 5 or 6 words at a time. You say it with me from the depths of your heart. Remember, it's not the words. There's no power in these words. The power is in your decision that I'm walking with God. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. Are you ready? Here's your place. With great boldness, say this. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life on this Christmas day. And any day. All of your grace and mercy. Say it. I receive all of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. I can see we got a lot of people with us on YouTube right now. God bless you. Good to have all you with us. Go to the chat and put your name in the state where you're from, the nation where you're from. We'd love to have you sign in and do it just so we know where you are and where you're from. Most of all, those of you who just prayed that prayer, and you can tell you're on something on the inside. You're like, wow, something just happened to me, Pastor. I never prayed that before. Well, what happened is God Almighty just came to live within you. Jesus said, anyone who, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in. I will sup with him and he with me. And you just said, by your words, I led you because I know what to pray. You just said, come in. And he did. He did. And Jesus just filled your being. He didn't make you a cute little Christian and give you a list of do's and don'ts. He filled you with himself. His blood just washed away every sin in your life. Some of you just feel absolutely pure. He filled you with his righteousness. It is installed inside of you to live by every day. It's good. And now, you don't have to worry about a God way out in the sky somewhere. He lives in here. He's leading you from the inside out. See, when you get this revelation that God wants you to be one with him, totally transforms your world. Because if God's way out there, somebody could get between you and him. But when God's in here, who's going to get between him? Unless you're letting somebody on the inside of you in a place they don't belong. Nobody takes the God spot. It ain't good for them if they do. When you wake up every morning, just say, Father, help me walk with you. And then talk to him all day long like he's walking right beside you. Remember, he's not walking beside you. He's in here. He's leading you from the inside out. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 17. Write it down. Romans 8, 11 through 17. Says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. There's only one Holy Spirit, and he now lives in you. And he bears witness with your spirit that you're now a child of God. And if a child, then an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Literally, you've been adopted into the family. How in the world am I ever going to live this, Pastor? Well, here's the first thing you're going to do. Get you a Bible right here. Thompson Chain Reference Bible, New King James Version. Thompson Chain Reference Bible, New King James Version. You can go back and play the tape again, 54 minutes. Because that Bible don't have anybody's own denominational doctrine in it. Mr. Thompson compared the Bible with the Bible and made it a harmony. And it's one of the most powerful tools that you'll ever need. In the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it was the book that most traveling evangelists carried with them because it's not only a book, it's an encyclopedia, but it's also a concordance that is one of the greatest. He put 100,000 hours into it. It cost you $85 for the Bible, but it's worth every penny of it because it gives you these abilities to say, well, I know it says it here, but what about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Revelation, Psalms, Proverbs, the prophets? And it'll help you. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. Be a part of this program with us. There's a playlist down here in the notes that has every video from January 1st all the way through to today. So you can actually go through and listen to the whole Bible being read to you chronologically, just like we just did. Powerful study. Even though it has 2022 history, it doesn't matter. The Word of God doesn't change. And great revelation will be yours, and we want you to be a part of it. Click my name, Samuel J. Cottle. Click read the word, and it'll take you right to that playlist. When you get there, there'll be a little square box with a plus sign. Click that plus sign, and then it puts it right inside of your YouTube playlist and your YouTube channel, your personal one, and it makes it so you have the ability to see it. See if I can show it to you real quick here. Down here in the corner is down in the corner is a little thing called library over here. So you want to click on that, and then it's, see where it says playlist? My, that read the word playlist will show up right there, and you have it right on your phone with you every day. You can just scroll through it and write down where you are and be able to listen. It's a great, great study. Great way to study the word. Well, that's all we got. Till we see you again right here, make sure. Send me an email. Seriously, send me an email. Ask me a question. Tell me a story. Give me a prayer request. We'll be a blessing to you. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. See you soon.